This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, is the advocate, the ambassador, the example of pre-trip planning. But did you know that she's got a whole post-travel process as well? When you get back home from being away, there are some specific things you can do for your mindset and your routine beyond simply unpacking. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien, and I've really done it to myself this time by naming this episode Post-Trip Tips. See, I can't even say it here.
All right.
But that's what Astrid has for you. Let's get into it. Astrid, do people overlook the post-travel stage?
Big yes. I would virtually say most everyone overlooks the importance of this element of solo travel. They get home, they get in their bed, and they think, happiness is my own bed. I'm home. Oh, this is wonderful. But once they get kind of through the jet lag, they start unpacking. Maybe the next day they try to get into the routine. Most people really are surprised that it's not as easy to re-enter post-travel life, especially if you love to travel. And I would say really from my over 40 years experience of solo travel, I've come to understand this part of the trip and how to complete a trip experience properly. So some of the things that typical people go through when they get home is they're exhausted or dead tired. They need a vacation from their vacation. They're overwhelmed with all of the things that they have to do to catch up. And unfortunately, in our stressful lives, modern lives, this is becoming even more of a challenge. Homesickness for where they've been. They're upset because they really would like to go back to or be in Paris or where they've just come from. Then also there's what's called reverse culture shock.
Yeah.
When they re-enter basically the reality of home, it can be different. They feel different. They just don't quite feel like they fit when they get back, okay? Then there's post-trip depression, which I'm going to go into more in depth in the later part of the broadcast to kind of acclimate people to what this is and that really people do experience it. And I think they're actually experiencing it more now than they used to for various reasons of just modern life in general. So yes, some people who love to travel alone actually do become depressed when they get home. Like I said, they feel different. The trip has expanded the consciousness. You just see everything differently. And then there are people who are actually not depressed or down or missing what they just did. They're more fired up about everything in life. They realize they need to make some changes in their life. Mm. And this is part of the post-trip solo experience.
Like the trip was a catalyst for something.
Oh, yeah. And this happens a lot. And a lot of times, people who really love to travel, there are a lot of things that are buried deep within their conscious and subconscious that are trying to surface for whatever reason, for healing or for growth or whatever. So basically, all travel is both taxing and transformative. So when you return home, be mindful of the post-trip phase. And approach this part of your adventure with thought, with to-do steps, and wisdom. And this is really what this podcast is about.
Well, let's get into it. There is a mindset component that you were just talking about. I would hope you can describe it a little bit more in detail and share what do you specifically do when you've been away?
Well, I'm just going to make it real simple. There's either a positive mindset when you return or there's that negative mindset, which is hard to believe that travel would trigger a negative mindset. So your positive mindset is like I was just talking about. You're energized. You have a new look on life. You just basically feel happier. You're happy to be alive. You're more grateful about your life. And really, the travel experience has been empowering And that happens a lot to people who do solo travel, because solo travel, especially when you're ready for it, you're prepared for it, it really does make you grow in ways that you can't ever imagine. And you've got the space in which to do it. You're not worried about who you're with or the group or whatever. And so you're experiencing the travel on all levels of your senses. And that triggers a lot of thought and a lot of deep thought. So it's very empowering. When you come home, you do feel, in my opinion, more mature, more worldly for sure, and just more confident. And you can't totally put your finger on it, but I think it's kind of an expansive consciousness, that process that you've gone through, and it's just the way it is now. So you're changed, and it's in a positive way. Now, the negative mindset, and this is what I'm going to go into post-trip depression, because it's really kind of like the worst picture of it, but I want to highlight it because, as I said, more people do go through this either acutely or somewhat, and to recognize it will help you understand it and not weaken to it, basically. So, post-trip depression is really just a feeling of being sad or low when you return home. And many times, even these symptoms can start 2 days before you leave. I have to admit myself, sometimes when I'm having a fabulous time, I'm thinking, oh gosh, I got to go home in 2 days or whatever. So it starts to kind of do it even before you leave. The symptoms include lack of motivation when you get home, loss of appetite, exhaustion, anxiety, irritability, bouts of involuntary crying. Now, this is one that I experience sometimes. Oh. Sometimes on the aircraft at home or whatever. That is the weirdest thing to me. And sometimes I can pinpoint what it is, and sometimes I don't totally know what is the source of it, but it really is a function of where I've been and what I've experienced, and it's hit that little button or whatever. Mood swings, headaches, sleeping too much, and just basically a loss of desire to do things you normally like to do. These are all typical characteristics of depression, but this is triggered from trips, from travel. What you're going through is you're basically saying goodbye to places and people that you've connected with, that it's been so memorable to you. And you have like a nostalgia that I'll never be able to relive this past or come back here. So you resign yourself to come home to your old routine and your old problems. Well, yeah. But these are all of the things that play into your psyche. There is some reality to it. But look, you could take every day of your life like that if you wanted to. But bottom line is, travel is supposed to be invigorating and enriching. And now it throws you into depression. So that is a negative mindset. And you have to realize when you start feeling those feelings so you can deal with them properly. But the main point here is to recognize the signs of the negative mindset and then know how to deal with it. So what I have done is I have put together my tips to combat PTD or post-trip depression. And I know this sounds kind of trite, but they work, because a lot of times when you go through something difficult or you're going through a hard time, if you just kind of get more down to basics, structure your day, have focus with to-do list, etc., just that normalcy in kind of, I guess, healthy but not too stressful focus on things will kind of help you pass through the downtime. So these are my tips. Number one is give yourself a few days to get back into your old routine. I know a lot of people can't do this, but try not to arrive at 12:30 at night and then you have to get up at 5:30 and go to work. Oh, my God. That is the first thing that can really get you off. And another thing, if you're gone for like a week or whatever, try to end your trip on Friday so you have the weekend when you get back home to kind of re-enter your real life. Take time basically to decompress. Don't just get home and pack, unpack and everything. The studies show it takes you about 3 days to unwind. So what I do is I will sleep as long as I can. Sometimes it's fitful because of the jet lag, but I really will try to do that. And then I unpack, and I usually unpack not all at once, in stages. And then number one, washing. I don't know why I love to wash, but washing is the most therapeutic thing for me.
Your clothes?
Yeah. Oh. So I get into washing. But this is what I've tried to focus on in the broadcast is do some normal things that relax you. Mm-hmm. So don't think you have to just get everything organized. Just kind of ease into it. Then the second thing is, of course, reconnect with your family, significant others, and friends. Let them know you're home safe and sound. That is really important to everybody who is close to you. I know myself, when I get home, my husband has to listen to 3-4 hours of the blow-by-blow of the trip. I mean, of course, he's watching me on social media and we're communicating through text to make sure that I am okay and it's all the way it looks at on the pictures, etc. But I will tell him about everything. And then I also always ask him about what's going on in our hometown and really how were you? Because when you reconnect, some of the disconnect that has occurred is between your loved ones and the people who mean something to you. So you can't just go in there and blast them all about your trip. You need to know what they went through, what went on in your hometown, what's changed, has anything burned down, you know, or whatever. Because that is part of getting back to your life at home. Yes.
I once had a friend tell me that you have to really be paying attention to the person who's staying at home because their routine is going on without you. You're like a missing piece of their routine while the traveler is the one who's experiencing all these new things. So it's like you have to have a little extra sensitivity for the fact that, like for your husband, you've been a missing piece in his normal day-to-day and just having that sensitivity as you come back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then schedule lunch or coffee or dinner with some of your closest friends. I know I have a couple of friends and we've actually traveled together. They love to travel. Every time I go somewhere, we go out to eat at Chris's steakhouse and we have a couple glasses of wine. I go through all my photos. They get all rared up and everything. But that's part of the closure of a trip because you're sharing it with others. You're inspiring others maybe to travel. You're giving them pleasure to hear about your experiences as well as your trips, your tips. And it's kind of a way of sharing, giving back, and kind of closing the trip. So I really recommend doing that. But be mindful now that they couldn't take the trip. So not that you're bragging or anything, but listen to how they are reacting and that kind of response. I think that's very important. Okay, then number three, recap your trip memories. And I think most everybody who has some kind of smartphone is into taking photos, whether they're good or bad. That doesn't make any difference. Those photos really are a pictorial history of your trip. So when you get home, put on your to-do list that you're going to organize those photos and memorialize them some kind of way. And the more you can do it, the better, to tell you the truth. Because what I have found with photos is when I go back and look at them a year or so later, I will see things in those photos that I didn't see when I was taking the photo or the point of the photo. It's mysterious to me how uncanny a photo can be of a particular travel moment. So to me, it's very important to organize them and memorialize them however you want to, whether they're in groupings or in videos or scrapbooks, etc. I know my daughter, who's very artistic, she paints. And so there's certain things that she will take photographs of that she knows when she gets time, she's going to paint. Mm. So those photographs are, to me, really important to capture the memories. And you still might want to post some on Facebook and Instagram or something on Twitter, throwback Thursday or Travel Tuesday or whatever you do, of which you're sharing them again with others. But still, the photos are important. Also, if you journal, of which I do recommend journaling for solo travelers, because this is a time that it's you and your travel experience. And you're going to experience so many things and so many thoughts and feelings that really will astound you. And to be able to just jot them down in a journal is wonderful. So when you come back, you can relive the trip. Also, you might have some final observations, because I know when I get back, there'll be certain things that I'll think about that I didn't think about when I was there. So write those down too, because maybe in 5 years, when you go back over it, you'll connect all of the dots. Mm. But it's a very nice thing to do. And I always think, well, it led to me to be a blogger and now this podcast, to tell you the truth, because I love to share. I love to think. I love to experience all kinds of different things. And I've just felt like that I needed to write all this down because it was going somewhere and I didn't totally know where. But I do have in the back of my mind, and I think everybody should feel this way, that when you're not here on this earth anymore, there might be other people who end up with those journals and they read them and it triggers something that is life-changing to them. So I'm a big proponent of journaling. Some of the things you can write about in the journal, or I have, is how has this trip changed or enriched your life? Do you want to eat differently? I know I love France so much. Now I eat every morning for breakfast hard bread and brie cheese with strong coffee, because it just reminds me of Paris and basically Europe. And my mother was born in Berlin. I had German grandparents that raised me when I was very young. So I have such an affinity for European everything, because at such a young age, I had that influence. So it just kind of centers me more. But you can travel all over the world. You might just get really hooked on Asian cuisine or whatever. You want to continue to eat that kind of food because it makes you feel better. It actually tastes better to you or whatever. Now, some other things that you could feel, like how the trips have changed you. You want to do things differently. Like I remember when I first went to Europe, and my mother didn't do this. Because it's not an American thing. And she was big on being, I want to be all American. I'm not looking back. America is just great. And so she wanted to be all American. But I remember the hotels I was staying in, the way they would make their beds, they would have two top sheets. There would be like the bottom sheet, then a top sheet. They put the blanket, could be thin or thicker, and then another oversheet on that, and then some kind of bedspread or whatever. So you had two sheets with a blanket in between. Oh my God, I thought that was wonderful. Because I'm one of these people who I like to take one leg out and put up. I didn't want that scratchy blanket on my leg. But the bottom line, I started making my beds that way. But I liked it so much. It felt so much better. And I learned that. So you'll learn a lot of different things. You might want to tie your belts to the side rather than in the front. There are just certain things when you travel that catch your eye or that you experience that you really like. And when you come home, you say, I'm going to do it that way because I think that's more me, or I like it more. So another thing, like I said, you start thinking differently. Now, It definitely works on releasing prejudices and fears of other cultures. I know before I went to Russia, I was so scared to go to Russia because I thought the Russians were just like, oh, if you look wrong or step wrong, bam, your life's over or you're going to be thrown in jail or whatever. And the same thing with China. I've been to both of those places solo and spent a lot of time. It changes you completely. The Russians are very compassionate people. Now, it takes a little while to break through the ice, but once they trust you, oh, you have friends for life. I love Russia. And I know a lot of people, especially Americans, go, oh, how could she say that? Well, you really do have to experience it to feel that way. And then in China, I realized the Chinese might seem to a Westerner to be real cold, but these people are survivalist by nature. They're extremely hardworking and extremely focused in what they're to do on a daily basis, much more so than I see in Western cultures. So that is the way that their conscious day is. So when you realize it's not an affront to you, it's not an affront to anything else, it's what their life is all about, then you don't have to feel like, oh gosh, those people, I can't relate to them. No, you do. And I had some very good guides that we had a lot of very deep talks about how the West and the East think differently and everything. So bottom line is when you travel, you will start thinking differently. You will understand more. And that permeates through your life. And to me, it's all good. Travel also, how it really changes you. And this is part of my tips on how to get through depression. What are some new interests or hobbies that you've gotten from being somewhere else? I know I love music. My first degree was in music. I collect CDs. I know on my trip to Ireland a couple of years ago, I wasn't super excited about going there, but I went actually for a travel bloggers international conference, and I fell madly in love with Ireland. I just could not get enough of Ireland, and I was completely shocked about it. One of the things I specifically loved was their music. Their music had magic in it. So I bought all kinds of CDs. And now when I'm in my car, if I'm driving to New Orleans or whatever, I just put in one of the Irish and I'm just, you know, feeling so happy and just fired up. So there are a lot of different kind of hobbies or interests that can come to you when you're traveling, like maybe ikebana, arranging flowers, etc., the way the Japanese do it, or whatever. But it's life-changing. That's all part of not saying, oh, God, you know, have to be in real life. And also, the last thing is I feel like when you travel, you basically learn how to live with less. And I've read other people talk about how travel teaches you, and you do learn how to live with less. And then when they come back, they declutter. And I kind of do that, but I'm not totally to the declutter stage, which is sad, but I'm not there yet. But that could be something else that would help you if you're just kind of stuck. So all of this is, it's basically kind of reevaluate. Should I change this or what's not working? Okay. So that was a long answer to number three of how to get through post-travel depression. But it's just some things to think about that really you might hang your hat on that will help you get through why you're feeling this way. Then number four is organize your trip mementos and souvenirs. That's kind of all in like with your photos, journals. So you can enjoy them. And this is where my decluttering problem happens. My house is like a museum of my world travels. And it's a very nice home, but it's becoming very cluttered. But I love everything. I can't help it.
You have everything displayed nicely, let's say that.
Well, I really do try, but it's getting harder and harder. But I have focused a little or shifted some of my memento or souvenir buying because I do believe mementos, one at least from every trip, that you will enjoy for the rest of your life or it will have some kind of meaning or you'll love to have. I personally love jewelry. I don't care if it's inexpensive. Like right now, I'm really into arm candy. Arm candy from all over the world. I have so many of these inexpensive bracelets that I love to mix and match. And also ethnic clothes. In Louisiana, we tend to still kind of dress, not as much as we used to. But I love to throw on like a Russian shawl if I'm going out to dinner. Or like here, I just went to Colombia. And I bought a beautiful emerald ring. Now, it wasn't the finest grade of emerald. Colombia is known for the emeralds. And they have all kinds of emerald shops. And they actually have an emerald museum in Cartagena where I went. But I spent about 3 days talking to all these people who were selling emeralds and about emeralds. And I met one woman that I particularly liked. And there was a beautiful ring. It was actually a very light stone emerald with some smaller stones, but it was just beautiful. So I ended up buying it. And this will be, for me, the best reconnection with this fabulous trip to Colombia or Cartagena that I had that shocked me how much I loved Cartagena. And other people will enjoy looking at it because it's beautiful. So that's what I'm talking about. Mementos that you can wear or accent pieces when you get home, I particularly like those. But organize those mementos so you don't lose contact with the trip. It's there, those memories resurface are some of the most wonderful things, and it's a positive thing. Okay, number five, then take care of yourself. Focus on your optimal health. Travel can weaken your health. If you fly a lot on a particular trip or anything, I seem to always be okay when I'm going somewhere. But when I come back over the pond or a long flight, I invariably get some kind of, well, I have bad sinuses to begin with, but some kind of cold or flu-like or whatever. So I just am prepared for it. I do emergency. That's my personal thing. But I don't like to give any health specifics. You know, you ought to talk to your doctor. But in general, good eating habits, hydrate when you get home, exercise routine. Now, I can't stress that enough. If you like to travel, you've got to be in pretty good shape to enjoy your trip, especially if you're solo, because you'll be walking a lot. So you can't really neglect your health. And when you come back, to get you out of that funk, that PTD, get into exercise routine. I mean, those dopamines or whatever that get released when you exercise, you feel much better, no matter even if you don't want to do it. Also, maybe you need to go to a spa, get a massage, do something that's pampering to kind of release some of that low feeling. And of course, extra sleep when needed. Sleep is a great healer, and especially if your biological clock is all confused. When you go east, like Asia from the United States, and you stay over there and you come back, oh my God, you want to eat at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're mad at the sun is still down. So all kinds of stuff. Then number five, this is real practical. Just start taking care of business. Answer your voicemails, your emails, and all important correspondence. Restart your mail and go through that. Restart your paper. You need to look at your credit card charges to make sure you don't have any double charges or unauthorized charges. Check your bank account statement. Make sure there hasn't been any identity theft. Because there are a lot of unsecured internet connections now. And if you do your online banking, it can happen easily. And then cancel those international cell phone packages and plans. So that's just basic take care of business. But like I said, if you get into some basic things, it helps you get out of that, oh, I can't believe that I have to go back to work. Then This is a real weird one. Number 7, start planning your next trip. And I tell you, I do it every time. It is the most weird thing I've ever seen. After I've had a wonderful trip, I'm dead tired, I get home, and all I want to do is start thinking about, now, where do I want to go next? But this is really not that uncommon. There's so many people who find themselves doing this. So if you find yourself doing it, or you didn't think of doing it and doing it, it is therapeutic. I mean, I know that sounds, like I said, weird, but it gives you something to look forward to. Even if it's a trip in 2 years, you can start that next stage. And I've gone into this before in other broadcasts. There's actually what they call a circle or a travel circle, where all trips start with some kind of dream or inspiration, whether it's in a photo or something somebody said or something that you feel like was part of an unknown aspect of your family ancestry, or just something that triggers, I want to go to Timbuktu or wherever.
That call we've talked about before.
Yes. So once that starts gestating, then typically somebody will start researching, then trying to find out, do I really want to go here? What's there to do? Is it going to touch whatever is making me want to go there? Am I correct, or is this just cuckoo thinking or whatever? But after all that research is done, you kind of say, yes, I'm going to Timbuktu. Then you start really looking at the numbers. You start looking, how are you going to make this happen? And you start putting it down on paper or conceiving it, conceptually conceiving. Then the next thing is you take action. You go ahead and you make those reservations. You get it all down on your calendar. You've committed. You're going. Then you've got your pre-trip planning, all the things that you need to do, visas, the packing, getting your pets properly stored, everything you need to do. Then you go on the trip, you experience it, and then now we're talking about post-trip. That's the last. But this is all part of what is a very natural circle. So this planning for the next trip that comes into your mind when you come home and you're feeling kind of low and whatever, don't think that's weird. Just go with it. Because a lot of people do it, to include me. Then the last one is seek counseling. If PTD, post-trip depression, lingers too long, that really is a sign of something deeper that's going on that you might need some counseling to solve. And travel really does stimulate the onion being peeled back, and especially solo travel. So that might all be a good thing. That might actually be the real deep purpose of a particular trip. So if you really feel like it's going on too long, then you might want to talk to somebody a little bit and see if it's something else that you need to deal with. But your goal is to come home with a positive mindset. So your trip's memories and the insights will stay with you for a lifetime. So don't let yourself be a victim of anything negative, or what I've just gone into, the real negative mindset.
I'm somebody who has a little bit of these post-trip blues, so those are great tips, especially I've taken one of your tips there. I always schedule a massage when I've been gone for a long time, because I find that that's like a real treat for me, and I already have something to look forward to when I am home.
And it really does help your body relax.
Yeah.
Because really, when you travel, you're bombarded. Yeah, you're bombarded with new food, new smells, different time zones, challenges, and all those little stressors, whether they're big, little, or medium, they all build up. And then you come back to your real life and you've got all the real stressors that here, that you got to get your bills out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, if you don't go get your pet today, that's going to cost you $100 because it's going to be over the weekend, all these things that you have to do. And then after a while, your body is just, all the tension is in your upper back or whatever, and you can't get it out.
My shoulders are up to my ears. Yes. What am I doing?
Exactly. I know. So massage is wonderful.
Yeah. You're keeping us on the positive mindset. You've given us all your tips for avoiding PTD. I like that.
Yeah.
PTD. So let's talk about getting back to real life. What are some of the things you do? The back home routine, the getting back to real life.
Okay. Well, I really have already shared some of my suggestions when I discuss this post-trip depression tips, but I don't think it's a waste of time for our listeners to hear some of them kind of again. I had a professor one time tell me that you have to hear something three times before you really remember it. So this is your second time kind of for some of them, but I have some other very good ones that I think get you back into real life and make good sense, and they're very practical. So here are my real life tips to get back to real life when you return home from a solo trip. Number one, allow 3 days to decompress. Really, give yourself enough time to just have some quiet time. Let your mind do its thing. And I talked about journaling. Get that journal out and write what you're thinking about. You might start thinking about, oh, the beautiful blues that you saw in Marrakesh, these what I call electric blue. Yves Saint Laurent loved it. He used it in some of his fashions, and he had a place in Marrakesh. But he got that blue color from his experiences in Marrakesh. But if that's something that you picked up on that you love so much, let it flow in your mind and decide if you're going to incorporate it in your life, or just write it down that it was a cherished memory, that this is your favorite color in all of the world or whatever. Then second, just make a master to-do list. Now, I make lists every day. I set goals. I'm one of these, I guess, type A people. Because I feel like if I write it down, it miraculously happens. But make a master to-do list of personal things you need to do, business things you need to do, community-oriented things you need to do, your obligations or whatever. Don't let any of that slide. Just make a big list of what you need to do. Number three, unfortunately, if you have like a travel or health insurance claim, maybe you broke your leg, you stepped off a curb or something happened, so you had to go to the hospital and get it set. Well, if you have travel insurance, you can submit the claim and get reimbursed. Well, you need to kind of do that within the first couple of weeks of returning home when everything is fresh in your mind and there are deadlines to file claims. So just make a little mental note of that. Okay. Number four is that reconnect with family, friends, and community. Like I said, very important. Share your experiences, listen to their feedback, and just reconnect. Don't lose sight of what life's really all about. In my opinion, love and family and friends. Everything else can go out of the window so fast that you don't know what happened. I strongly suggest to do that. It's part of the post-trip, in my opinion. Then also, TripAdvisor loves you to give feedback. Mm. So if you're one of these people that like to go and give your opinion, that's part of it. Get back and give TripAdvisor, you love this hotel, or don't do this, or blah, blah, blah. So that's all part of kind of sharing your experience. And the last thing is the trip recap that I went into, journal entries, photos, videos, organize them. And then any other project that you can do that the trip kind of inspired you. Say, here's another idea. You saw some beautiful gardens. Say you went to England and you went to a couple of places where they shared with you how the English garden is part and parcel of this beautiful manor.
The philosophy.
And everything. And you come back and say, I think I want to do my backyard like that. I don't want the structure. I want it to be more free-flowing with whatever. Go ahead and do that. And it'll capture, this is my own little slice of the Cotswolds or whatever that made you really like something that you didn't even know about. Then number five, maintain that traveler's mindset, which here is try new things. Just like I said, the gardening, or maybe you want to get into dancing. You want to take tango or ballroom dancing, or you really decided, I'm going to get my food whole consciousness on a higher level. I'm going to start taking cooking classes. I'm going to learn how to make ceviche myself or whatever. Take these positive things and start keeping them in your mindset, okay? What it ends up doing, and I mentioned this too, you kind of see your community really in a new light, or work to do that. So you don't get back in that old rut. I mean, even some people, it's kind of becoming a little bit of a trend, they will do what's called staycations, which they will check into a hotel in their own city for the weekend and do all kinds of things that they don't do, that they've never done, and they explore their own city. But the bottom line is, it's a traveler's mindset. Look and be open to things you haven't experienced that are positive or that will enrich your life and even in your hometown. Okay, then number six is incorporate your trip moments or souvenirs into your own life. Just like I said, home display, or whether you like to wear them, and then eventually give them away. I know I had an experience in Paris. My father, after the war, was in Paris with the military for a while, and he had some connections with some very upper crust people that he liked very much and had affected his life deeply. One of them was by the name of Cosette Harcourt. It's Harcourt. She was the most famous photographer pre and post World War II. She took photographs of every important European dignitary, actresses, everything. She's very, very famous. If you were anybody, you had your portrait done by Madame Harcourt. Well, she became very close to my father. Of course, he had pictures done by her, etc. But the first time I went to France, he told me, he said, go to 49 Avenue Diana and see if they still are alive. See if they're still there. So, of course, I went, knocked on the door. Miraculously, they were there. And they invited me into their gorgeous, what they call a hotel, but it's really a mansion. And you walk up these fabulous steps into their beautiful apartment. And I mean, when I tell you it was old Paris, I was going, oh my God, my father was not exaggerating. But I had a delightful evening with them. And when I was leaving, she said, I want to give you some things. So she gave me a marble carved turtle and then a brass boar that had been her husband's as her token of love for my father, and that our time together was meaningful. So bottom line is I think the older that you get, when you've gone a lot of places and everything, and you come and there are people that are really close to you, you're going to give some of those wonderful things that you acquired on your travels or in your life to them as something that you hope that they will enjoy and remember you by. So that's just a little side story. But to me, it was very meaningful. And then the next one is just get back into that balance routine. Really, after about a week, you should kind of be there. If you normally get up at 6 in the morning and go to bed at 10, get back on that schedule. Don't let yourself be up until 2. Get in the bed, turn the TV off, and you might have to lie there for a while, but get back to that normal routine, nightly news, reality shows, regular exercise, whatever you do, do it. Because sometimes travel will make you just kind of get all over the place. You don't feel like doing this or whatever, but do it, because that balance in your life is what will keep you normal and okay. Then number eight is evaluate, and I've gone through this not specifically in a point per se, but evaluate what needs to be changed in your life. Are you just too busy? What are you going to do to slow down? The Italians are wonderful at this. especially the further south you go, they'll just do a certain amount and then they have to play checkers or chess or talk or drink coffee or whatever. And there are a lot of cultures like this. They take a certain part of the day and they just detach. Okay. Well, this is part of, they're not going to let themselves get so stressed out or too busy to miss life. So that might be something you really need to change. And for Americans, now we're all hooked to our smartphones. Well, you got to reevaluate, in my opinion, what is life-giving. So think about that. And if you're not happy, why? Just try to figure out why you're not happy and start doing some things that will change that. Then the next thing, that declutter, which that's one thing you could probably sense from what I'm talking about. I really need to do it. But when you live less, the studies show typically you're happier. And my daughter just mentioned this too here recently, because she loves to travel like I do, and she's much younger than me. And it makes her so sad when she goes to other places and comes back home and she sees homeless people in the United States and people aren't happy. And then she goes to places where the people don't have anything and they're so happy. They're so happy. Well, they don't have much. And their values and what is going on in their daily lives and how they're approaching their daily lives and what's in their heart and soul is in a good place. And it's not with all these things. I'm preaching to myself. But think about that. And basically, the whole point is there might be some things in your life that you need to change, and it hits you in the face when you travel, okay? Then number nine, that plan that next solo adventure. Don't not do that, because I tell you, I think that that just gets you fired up. It gets you into real life, gets you excited about something to look forward to, whatever. And then the last thing, and this is something that I do really believe that travel does for you. Maybe you might not recognize it right away. And the more you recognize it and the more you really do feel this way consciously, the better. But really maintain a grateful attitude to what you have and that you were actually able to travel. Traveling should make you appreciate the blessings of home more, that you actually have a home, that you have family, friends, community. Look at the sunsets in your home more. Really seeing them. Basically, just look for new opportunities to really feel that grateful aspect of life, because that really does make a tremendous difference in how you approach life and the quality of your life. It's kind of like a double insurance policy for good karma. So I'll just end with the show with a few parting comments. If you're one of the people who dreads coming home, or you can't wait to get back to your own bed, know that travel changes you. Every trip you'll come back, you're basically a different person. Not totally, but it does change you. So be prepared to think and feel different after your solo trip. Realize it might be challenging to re-enter your old life. But just realize that for many people, it's harder to come home than it is to leave. But if you approach your post-trip phase proactively, your solo travel experiences will be some of the highlights of your life. Thanks for listening, and please like, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe.
Great tips, as always, Astrid, for us to integrate the experiences that we have when we go out and travel. But you know one thing that does not change every time we go out on the road? The fact that we have to pack. But Astrid is here to make your packing just a tiny bit easier. She has an amazing packing list that is complimentary. All you have to do is go to her website, astridtravel.com, Right there on the homepage is a place you can put in your email and you'll be able to download that packing list right away. Like Astrid said, we love people who subscribe to this show. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love Spotify. We love all the people who are listening to the show on Spotify. Welcome.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah. YouTube. Everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere that you can find a podcast, you can find Solo Travel Talk. And the reason we love subscribers is not only is it a seamless way for you to get this information, but it actually pushes out this show to other potential solo travelers. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.